Wait, Eric's head is in there behind? Shawshank Connection. And...
slap bass.
Slapping the bass.
Are we done?
Slapping the bass, man.
Everybody be smiling, everybody be dancing. It's a reggae edition of the side quest.
are you a leprechaun?
I need to do it.
Why do you think I sound like a leprechaun?
I was supposed to be Rastafari. Ready? Close yourself to the sound of the steel drum.
Christ.
And all the way from Kingston. And
just record the entire podcast like that.
3, 2, 1. Broadcasting live from the 2012 Extreme World Yo-Yo Championships in Bangladesh, it's episode 322 of The Side Quest! And I'm Deli Domofsky, a.k.a. Cool Rides. Joining me is Eric Smith.
Which part's extreme, the world or the Yo-Yo Championships?
I think it's the extreme part.
Wait, extreme's extreme?
Well, I mean, the banners all over in the hall here say extreme. Did I say hall? I meant hallway between two illegal drug dens.
Oh, yes, because we're in Bangladesh.
Bangladesh, and that's where the Yo-Yo Championships are taking place. All three people that are here for them.
Yeah, I'm good.
And Steven Strom.
Hey, everybody.
I almost said Steven Smith, which would have been pretty funny because your marriage hasn't been announced yet.
No, it has not. We were going to keep it a very small ceremony, so...
if you haven't gotten your invitation, Eric and Steven fucking hate you.
if you haven't gotten our invitation, it's because we're being married by an expatriate British pirate, and he forgot to send them out to you.
Exactly. Oh, by the way, it's tomorrow. Have you guys watched? Ever heard of Workaholics?
Yeah.
Yes. I saw it on Netflix.
Motherfucking wizard. Let's never die. We don't die. We don't die. We don't die.
It's the best TV show on the planet. There was one of the ones that I watched. Oh, fuck, you made me lose my train of thought. They were singing about Catherine Zeta-Jones, and the song just went like this: Catherine Zeta-Jones goes under lasers. In the rock, and that's pretty much the whole song.
Wait, she I thought that was Entrapment.
Oh fuck, I meant Entrapment.
The Rock has Sean Connery, who is also in Entrapment.
Was he really?
I can see how you could get Sean Connery and Catherine Zeta-Jones mixed up. They're both very attractive.
You mean Alcatraz and Catherine Zeta-Jones?
Alcatraz, yeah. I can see where, when you're thinking of The Rock, you thought of Catherine Zeta-Jones, that's all.
But my favorite line from The Rock or Entrapment was, I've had the cure for cancer and now I've lost it.
That's a thing? That's gotta be The Rock. That can't be Entrapment. Entrapment is like... fucking what they're trying to steal, like, it's all tied in the new millennium, right? It's the year 2000, so all banks are going to be destroyed for like 27 seconds, but that's long enough to steal $10 billion or some shit.
No, I think this was from Medicine Man, the movie that he made where he had the cure for cancer and he lost.
Oh. I thought it was maybe The Rock, where he was a criminal of some kind, I presume.
Catherine Zeta-Jones crawls under lasers and entraps me in Sean Connery too. We've got a lot of good stuff to talk about today. A little bit of what we've been playing.
I think I'm going to have to cut out that whole intro.
No, fuck you.
I should just keep singing.
Yeah, and everybody go out and watch Workaholics. I think I'm going to do a regular Workaholics podcast. We'll start that up. Eric, what have you been watching, buddy?
What have I been watching?
I mean, what have you been playing?
I was watching Star Trek Next Generation.
Good man.
And the Lord of the Rings Extended Editions.
Ooh.
I haven't seen them in a while. They're long, you know, 4 hours apiece.
I got those for
Are they really?
Blu-ray.
Yeah, what, yeah, that's same. Same situation for me, Steven.
What's the difference between those and the regular?
They're really, really long. They're like an hour longer.
Yeah. What do they add? Is what I'm asking.
Lots of story.
More stuff from the books, basically.
Yeah,
They make them really, really fucking close to what the books were. They cut out some of the extraneous shit, but
There's still no mention of any Tom Bombadil in the.
I knew you were gonna say that, but
they explain their way around that whole scenario in the movies anyway. So.
Oh really?
Problem. Oh yeah.
How do they explain away Tom Bombadil?
They just don't touch on any of the things that he did in the book.
Oh okay. Yeah, there's in the book there's a whole scene where they meet a magic dancing singing man who's married to like a river and who fights zombies for them at the very beginning of the book. I'm not making this up. Of the first book, there's a whole scene.
God, and
he's like more
prone.
And he can sing people to sleep.
He can sing like anything. Like his magic is through singing, and he's more powerful than the one.
So it's totally like Catherine Zeta-Jones.
No, it's more like, motherfucking wizards never die. You think you can kill me? I got my spells to heal me.
But yeah, the extended editions are awesome. You still have to switch DVD or Blu-rays in the middle of each movie.
What is with that?
Because they use up all the space on it. There's 800 audio tracks and...
Oh my god.
Oh yeah, I suppose a lot. That audio does take up a lot of room. But I was just thinking because Uncharted, they put all of Uncharted 3 on a fucking one Blu-ray disc.
Yeah, that was like 6 hours though. Of
yeah, but it's 6 hours of like lots and lots
code.
Of data. It's cool, but it's like you know you got voice assets and you've got like it's interactive and shit. It's not just video and audio. I'm just saying.
They put a 300-hour game on one disc.
I think we need to. I'm just gonna say what we're all thinking. We need a new format change. I think we're ready for the next one past Blu-ray, right?
I think
everybody.
You mean
sell your copies of Entrapment to the Rock?
Sell your copies of Entrapping the Rock.
You do know that the format beyond Blu-ray already exists, developed by TDK. It's got like 1 terabyte disk space.
We are
the format beyond Blu-ray is the internet because that is the only thing I'm ever going to buy anything on in the future.
Could you
Blu-ray.
Imagine a 1 terabyte rewritable CD?
That is pretty fucking crazy.
No, because the image of those like flying spider discs from Wild Wild West that cut off Will Smith's head.
At that point, would they just send you like give you a fucking just hard drive, like a terabyte hard drive, and say here, fuck. Take this.
Well, no, because now we got to pay like $900 for them. Thanks for being flooded, Thailand.
That wasn't very nice, actually.
That's why we're holding our yo-yo championship in Bangladesh and not the traditional home of yo-yo, Thailand.
Yo-yo, Thailand?
Yo-yo, Thailand!
Yo-yo, Thailand, the birthplace of the yo-yo.
Okay, so I've been playing
shit.
I've been playing some games.
Oh, by the way, are there any like yo-yo video games? Because
I'm
going to
fart into my microphone.
That would be awesome, a yo-yo video game. And anytime Eric speaks, it's like farting in his microphone. Continue, sorry.
Eric, you've been playing Star Fox 64 3D?
Yes, I have. It's a good game.
Okay.
It's not as short as Dally made it out.
Really?
Fuck, I beat the game in 45 fucking minutes.
No, you beat one path, probably the easy path, in 45 minutes.
Yeah.
At Dally.
No, the problem... Okay, I won't say the problem. I already mentioned it. Go ahead, continue. Tell me more about it.
Not much else to say. It's a good game.
All right, fine. The problem with the game...
it's probably not worth $40, though.
That's... There you go. Now you're onto the ticket.
Wait,
it's really light on content. The original Star Fox 64 was great at that time because I think what really sold it was the multiplayer.
Well, kinda, but
I mean, we played that multiplayer like crazy.
Yeah,
but
I just remember running around as a person against people and ships, trying to blow them out of the sky.
Really? I thought that came around like Star Fox Assault. I didn't know that was
64.
Fuck, I never got past like the third level because it was only in my dentist's office. They had an N64, and that was the only place I ever got to play it before I had appointments. And sometimes there'd be other kids sitting there using it while they were getting fluorided or some shit.
while they were getting fluoride bombed.
It's a verb now. Fluoride bombed.
But yes, it's a fun game. I don't know why everyone really liked the 3D on that. I thought it was kind of pointless.
Well, I thought the 3D was actually pretty good.
It looks okay, but it's not as good as like I don't even like it as much as Ocarina of Time.
You know, I think a 3D on a flying game tends to work a little better because there's stuff coming at you from every angle. Whereas in like Ocarina of Time or even you know, Mario 3D Land, there were parts of it that were amazing in 3D, but you know, it's almost like a 2D plane, I guess. You know.
Yeah.
Well, in this case, stuff was coming at you from everywhere.
But I just like playing it because I remember I played it 100 times on the 64, and I just remember all the secret paths and the things you have to do to get different ways through the maps and
like the waterfall.
Yeah, but that pretty much became the standard way because everyone did that one. Instead of fighting against the giant robot thing.
I always fought the giant robot thing. I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Dude.
Waterfall?
You have an issue.
I played it in a dentist's office. I didn't exactly have Game Facts open.
When that game first came out, there was no Game Facts. So there. Boom.
Was there? Really?
Wasn't there?
No. Game Facts came in like late 90s or something.
Well, when was it? N64 was
it like
late 90s?
It was like 96.
Whatever. Okay. But other than that, I've been playing, I played a bunch of Coral. Started in 1995.
Okay.
November 5th, 1955.
Props to Game Facts, 17 years old.
Oh, when did, okay, no, we're not gonna, no, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I played Coral for the XBLA. And it's like Coral for iOS, except you have multiplayer.
Yeah.
What is Coral? I've heard lots of people talking about it. I still don't exactly know what it is, other than it's like a word puzzle game.
Yeah. It's Risk meets Scrabble.
Oh, really?
It's like, yeah, it's Risk, it's totally Risk meets Scrabble.
Okay, so you made that sound really flippant at first, where you were like, oh, it's just like Risk meets Scrabble. Like what are you fucking...
It's
like,
that,
yeah,
that,
that sounds
simple.
Really interesting.
It's that simple. It's a direct breakdown. If you were to have Risk and Scrabble hump, out would come Quarrel.
I'm just saying that sounds like a very interesting combination. It doesn't sound like something a lot of people do.
It's $5 on Xbox Live. Everyone just...
Yeah,
I didn't even think you could sell games for $5 anymore on Xbox Live.
Oh, you know the funny thing about that game is that didn't they first create Coral on for PC or no for
iOS?
It was for Xbox Live, and then it went to iOS, and then it went back to Xbox Live. But they had the original. I think Joystick had the original kind of development pitch that they had for. Other companies that Denki was doing for other companies, and then until they partnered up with Ignition, but I loved it on the iOS. The only thing missing was multiplayer.
I thought the controls were better on iOS because just grab the letter.
Yeah, that's true. And it's definitely a lot quicker. But
is there multiplayer on 360?
Yep. Except. That brings up another problem, which is the Xbox Live Dictionary.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And,
help is one of the words you cannot type, is it not?
Help, start, dice. These are all words that Xbox Live Language Filter prevents you from putting in.
As well as some, you know, some ones that are...
Ones? Wank. Yeah.
Well, it's like Shaft is what I'm thinking of. Shaft.
Okay,
there's
lots of things that are Shaft besides a penis.
No. You misunderstand where I was going with that. I was going towards where you, exactly where you were going with that. I was like, yeah, Shaft, you know, fuck, yeah, but fuck you, Microsoft. Like,
it's Shaft. It's absolutely Mineshaft. Ridiculous that there. They would put that in.
Shaft, Detective. Right, there's another one.
Yeah.
So with the iOS version, well, let me ask you this, Eric. How long do the matches last you on 360?
One-on-one matches or, like, four-player?
Well, what when you versus a computer?
Me versus a computer, just one computer?
Four. Let's say all
okay,
four.
Okay, probably 20 minutes, maybe 25.
I had one match.
On difficulty.
I had one match last about 2 hours on iOS. the nice thing about iOS is that it can go into that kind of, you know, background mode, whatever, which made it so easy to fucking cheat. Because then you would, that would just, when the word comes up or when the letters come up, you just go into background mode, open up the like wineverygame.com on your iPhone, and then hop back on there, and you can fucking
that's still a problem on Xbox Live.
Is it?
I was
okay.
About to say,
they have online. They have a timer. But it's still, like, it's long enough for anyone good with a computer to be able to just type it in, but it's...
Presumably, you could even just have your iPad on your lap and just, but,
yeah.
Like, you know.
And
I mean, I almost never game without my iPad anymore.
I don't trust anyone playing online just because of that.
Yeah, it's way too easy to cheat.
Like, everyone who is, if for those who don't know, Quarrel, there's... When there's two people battling and you have more than two people in a match, the other players get to make a word out of the same letters that are on the board. And you get as much time as the other two people use. And they're, every single time, the people are making eight-letter words, which is the max. It's like you're clearly cheating because not everyone can do that. Is aggravating.
That's too bad. That's a weird thing where it seems like it's like kind of a board game kind of rule set where it's like they're not directly going in and messing with anything, cheating that way or using an exploit or anything. It's just like
it's like using a FAQ.
Yeah, but like you could use it in multiplayer too. It is a weird thing.
Yeah, but
where it is a single player kind of exploit.
There's no way to get around it because if you're a good person, then you won't cheat. If you're a bad person, then you'll cheat.
That's why you should play with friends, honor system.
Yeah, right? And everyone, there's people complaining about this not having a local multiplayer, and you have to see the letters, and if you were to have two people playing on the same TV, it would be impossible. So, I don't know. They're like a 10-person team or a 5-person team. I don't expect much out of them.
Yeah, what you'd need is like some kind of console or something where you can have like a secondary screen that nobody else looks at. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, but that's all I've been playing. I've been keeping it light lately.
All right. Well, how about I tell you guys what I've been playing?
What have you been playing, Dally?
Nothing. All right, Steven. No, I've been playing Dead Space 2. I finally completed that bad boy. And I think I touched on it a little bit on the previous episode, or maybe I didn't. Who knows? But Dead Space 2 is essentially just more Dead Space. They didn't. I really enjoyed it because I really loved the first Dead Space. So this is just kind of it's literally a continuation of that. In fact, if you played the games back to back, it would just seem like one really long episode of Dead Space. But the controls are identical. The shooting is identical. All they really did was, modify where you are now. So you're on a planet or a colony. On a planet, on Titan or some...
It's Titan. It's a moon of Jupiter. You're on a space city called the Sprawl.
Yeah, and so, or as I like to call it, you're in the same locker room 5,000 times. Because they reuse the assets so much in this level. It's essentially probably about 70... No, I don't want to say but... At least 50% of the game seems like you're in the same residential area, running around in circles over and over and over again, which you kind of are. So I'm kind of bummed about that, but the parts of the game that really do excel, that opening sequence where you're kind of stuck in a straitjacket and you're running through to escape from the stalkers, that was fucking awesome.
That engineer dude just gets his face wrecked.
Yeah, and some of the stuff that goes on in the background is really cool. And then the final battle was actually pretty interesting. I like that whole kind of climactic. I like that final battle, but I thought the ending was kind of anticlimactic, I guess you could say.
Did you not like the jetpack sequence, or like you thought that was anticlimactic?
No. So the actual final battle mechanic was cool, but the way what you were battling. Okay, I'm gonna spoil it. It's been a year.
I think take it off my headset.
Is he really? I think there's like a 6 month. Might have to. Anyways, the issue for me was that you're not really fighting the marker. You're fighting the marker's influence on you.
Yeah, you are. You are literally a dude, right? Like, if I remember correctly, you are literally like a you're Isaac, and Isaac is like being mind controlled into committing suicide or whatever, and you are fighting the personification of your own madness or something.
Exactly. So the final battle all takes place in your head.
Yeah, and then if you die, instead of dying, it just cuts to Isaac blowing his own head off.
Yeah, exactly.
With, like a spear gun.
Exactly, which is pretty gruesome. But yeah, I was just kind of bummed that you know, the previous game you actually battled, you battled this giant beast pretty much, and this one, I mean, Isaac made a big point. I gotta fucking take down that marker, but he doesn't in the end, really, and it's not really of his doing that the marker, you know, gets taken down. So
I don't even think it's so much that that he doesn't wreck the marker, because marker gets wrecked. That's all that matters.
Exactly.
But it's that finding out after that there are like 20 other markers all over the place.
Yeah, exactly. It was basically saying, oh yeah, by the way, we're just going to make this series really easy to make sequels to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe the next one will be a strategy game.
I would totally be down with that.
Yeah, no,
Dead Space Wars.
Dead Space Wars. I did really like the game. I'm just hoping that the next Dead Space will make it give a little more variety, I guess.
Snow Planet.
Snow Planet would be great. Apparently, that's what's happening, right?
That's what I'm saying. Big barren open wasteland, so don't worry about reused corridors.
Yeah, exactly. Something that I'm another game that kind of falls in the same idea of not being all it could have been is Sonic Generations, and that's far less than what it could have been, because
Sonic.
So I've come to the realization, the conclusion, that Sonic people are a lot like Mega Man people, in that
you're nerds.
Well, no, in that they're still holding on to this past that Sonic is this awesome character. Mega Man is this awesome character. So are the 80,000 other characters that are in their universe.
Characters, though.
They're horrible characters. Anyway, so Sonic Generations, this was Sega's best kind of multi-console attempt to create, a classic Sonic. And it felt kind of flat on its face because the 2D levels, it doesn't control very well, I guess. They're not really that interesting because anything you do in those 2D levels, if you're not 100% on your game, even on the easier modes, you're going to lose all your fucking rings. All right. It's something that you don't have control of the game in that case. You know, it's almost like Sonic's just going through the motions and you're just basically trying to avoid obstacles. And then you get to the 3D mode where it's like the skinny Sonic, the Sonic Adventure ones, and the controls are so bad that I'd much rather be playing like a kart racing game, which I thought was would feel better. But yeah, I'm just not sold on this game. It's not.
That's a weird comparison to make. I'd rather be playing a kart racing game.
Exactly, because the sequences where you're running on these long paths. It might as well be a racetrack, so you might as well be a kart racing game. And then when it does try to do some slight traditional platforming, you're still using the same controls of a really bad kart racer to try to jump from platform to platform. So Sonic is constantly falling off ledges, and it's almost like Sega definitely has Mario envy in this case, and they just, you know.
Sega has always had Mario envy.
They've always had it, but it just didn't. I'm sorry, Sega. This didn't do it for me. Sonic Colors, on the other hand, for the 3DS and for the Wii, which was it was actually a really awesome Sonic game.
Is that the RPG?
No. This is Sonic Colors. This was like a
Sonic Chronicles is the RPG.
Yeah, Sonic Chronicles was a shitty RPG.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't remember the most generic name they possibly could have gone with.
Yeah. No. I've also been playing Pushmo on the 3DS.
Pushmo Blocks.
Which is, if you have a 3DS and you have not downloaded this game, shame on you. It is really good. I think we talked about it last time a little bit, Eric, and you were downloading it as we were talking about it. But
that was something else.
Oh, no, that was VVVVVVVV.
Yes, that's right.
Anyways, Pushmo is it's so much fun. It's such a simple idea for a puzzle game that it just works. You're pushing blocks in and out of a 3D space, so you can kind of climb up these blocks and rescue the little kid that's been trapped on top. But some of the puzzles are actually pretty challenging. There is definitely a finite way to, you know, to solve a puzzle, but you'll be redoing it over and over and over again. And there are puzzles where I got just completely stuck and have just kind of left them for other puzzles. And you can create your own puzzles, which is really cool. So
and you can share them through like QR codes or some shit, right? But you can custom design a QR code.
Yeah, it's really weird. You could do all kinds of weird Nintendo-y custom design shit, so hopefully there'll be more, you know.
Well, how many QR codes have you made in the shape of penises and then shared over Swapnote?
A lot, actually.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Oh, speaking of Swapnote, I'm now doing art contests and shit on Swapnote. I'm going to start giving away games and shit, so if you're not my Swapnote friend, you might want to be. And then finally... I actually saw that you have one game that I have, so I'm going to let you talk about that one. But Pocket Ninjas, shout out from my brother's little Fruit Ninja-esque iOS game. It's blown up. It was featured on IGN.com, props. It's basically Fruit Ninja, but super violent.
I found this. I find Pocket Ninjas incredibly interesting just because I haven't played it, but I find it incredibly interesting because this is the first time I have ever heard that. Did you have a brother?
No. Really? He's been on one of our podcasts. I think last year sometime he was on a podcast.
Oh, all right.
2 years or something. Anyway,
is it on iPad? Or is it just...
It's a universal app, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I'll
play. I mentioned... I posted something on Twitter. I'm like, oh, hey, guys, pick up my brother's Pocket Ninjas. It's an iOS game. It's universal. It's a universal app. So, like, one guy, like, got back to me almost... angrily and said, how could it be universal when it's only iOS? That's a stupid thing. Like, universal on iOS means it works across all the iOS devices. You fucking idiot. Sorry,
oh, man.
Anyway, so there. Yeah. Shout out to Pocket Ninjas. I'll have a banner up on the site if you guys can buy it through there.
Okay. And Steve. After that, we're going to take a break.
Okay.
We'll come back in a little bit and we can hear what Steven has to say about his games. Check back in with us.
Okay.
I fucked you up.
Yeah, he talked over you.
I don't care.
I didn't know you were going silent again, you moron.
I don't care. I'm keeping this in.
This is improv, everybody.
I'm keeping it in.
Liam Neeson would be proud.
Liam Neeson does improv?
You didn't see that video?
You don't watch Life's Too Short?
Oh my god, yes I do. No, I don't. Okay. I'm lying.
Now quick, mutter Life's Too Short under your breath really fast.
Life's Too Short is pretty good.
That's a little bit of break time humor.
We gotta
keep going.
We're gonna get a move on here. So, yeah,
what have you been playing, Steven?
I moved Skyrim over to the PC over last weekend, I think, and it was, you know, just to you can use some kind of like internet alchemy to move your saves from 360 over to the PS or to the PC, and so I jumped that over, played another about 40-50 hours of Skyrim just on PC now, which I think brings me up to about 100 hours or so. But so I was playing a lot, and I need needed some palate cleansers, so I decided to go back into my Steam log, or my Steam backlog, and I pulled out Deus Ex Human Revolution, The Missing Link, the other night, and I played through that entire thing in one sitting. For those who don't know, Deus Ex Human Revolution, Missing Link, is it's the DLC for Deus Ex Human Revolution. It takes place like near in like the last third of the game. There's like a part where he goes into stasis, comes out, and turns out that during that time he was doing some shit. So that's the kind of the game basically. It's just more it's just more Deus Ex. It's just like a side step of Deus Ex where you can definitely tell this is probably part of the main game at some point, but would have been a really weird sort of segue for them to make and then just go back into the main story. And so it actually does kind of work better as a side story by itself. And it, I guess it ties into the books somehow in some way. But man, I'd forgotten how much I loved me some Deus Ex, some Human Revolution. There's a reason it was on our Game of the Year list is all I can say, I guess. It's just,
I still haven't played it, but that's one that I can't wait to get my grubby little hands on. But I was going to say...
Well, you've got like 4 days to do that now, so
yeah,
better hurry.
Yeah. Why? Why 4 days?
Because all these games are coming out now.
Oh, yeah, pretty much, right? Yeah, Final Fantasy 13. The one thing that I am going to say is I actually really like DLC, and you guys feel free to let me know if you like this or not. I like DLC that it almost introduces a completely new, like completely different game almost, or like new characters or a new storyline. And Steven, I think you're going to actually get on that a little bit more in a little bit. But and you mentioned that with like The Missing Link. It's almost like a completely different chapter, a completely different story. You know, a lot of times they'll be like, oh, hey, here's just, you know, here's more maps or here's more levels that you can go through, or here's, you know, some more co-op shit to do. But I like it when it's almost like a completely different chapter. You don't feel like you're missing out on, missing out on the main story. And they did that with Dead Space 2 Severed, which is something that I got to pick up. But no, I think it's cool. I'm interested in picking that one up.
Yeah, it's basically like that. It definitely exists in that same. You can tell that it exists in that same story that was going on before, but because you know it ties in. But it answers a couple of unsolved questions. I won't get too deep into spoilers just because you guys haven't played it yet. But it gets some real dark shit up in there too. That some some real nasty, like weird
nasty shit.
It's just the darkest of the blackest magic. And
it's the darkest shit.
I was kind of waiting for Eric to jump in on that mess, but
I'm not going to.
And, without giving away too much, it's just like some real, like some weird fucking stuff about the main game had this too, but like some stuff about like rape and like human trafficking and shit like that, and like really nasty shit that people don't really talk about too much in games, at least not in any kind of serious way. And it's really interesting to see it delivered in such a way. I think Deus Ex has a really good storytelling approach and storytelling technique, and I'm really excited to see it kind of takes even a darker turn than even the main game does. The main game has a really dumb twist at the end that I think kind of really cheapens a lot of that, but since this takes place before that twist, you're still in that kind of really dark stage of shit, and I really enjoyed going back to that feeling, and I hope in future games they do that again. But so you were telling me, you're saying, Eric, a bunch of games are coming out in here pretty really.
That was a very quick segue. Out of
that.
Yeah. Well, it was.
Continue. Yes, there's a lot of games coming out in February.
One of those games that I want to play is Syndicate. This is going to tie in pretty quick, pretty good. It was. One of those games is going to be Syndicate. It's the original. It's being developed by Starbreeze, the Chronicles of Riddick guys. Darkness 1, I guess. But the original game, Syndicate, that this is based on or inspired by or whatever, came out on GOG recently, Good Old Games. And I bought that.
The Bullfrog joint?
Yeah, Bullfrog, back when Bullfrog, Peter Molyneux's old gang.
Back when Bullfrog was Bullfrog?
Back when Bullfrog was Bullfrog and not Lionhead, yeah. They made some great games, and Syndicate is a great game. You were talking about Risk-type gameplay. It is kind of like a Risk-type thing where you're controlling a squad of people that go through like each different region and whatnot. And the basic premise of the game is you got like four cyborgs that you mod out and equip with weapons and whatnot and upgrade. You move them into these different missions on a overworld map kind of risk thing, and do whatever objective is in that area by either assassinating dudes or mind controlling dudes with this thing called the Persuadatron, which is the fucking is simultaneously just awesome in a badass way, but also fucking hilarious because you can just you just walk up next to people and they're instantly mind controlled, but you need to control more people to control higher levels of people. So you need to control four civilians to control a cop and three cops to control a guard and eight guards to control an enemy agent or some shit like that. So you end up with this just retinue of cult following one dude who has the mind control devices, just 80 dudes on this tiny little bad resolution screen because this game came out in 1994 or some shit.
I think it was 240.
Yeah, it really is. I need to get a mod to maybe up the resolution or something. But it looks hilarious to see all these. It's just this blob of really badly rendered 256 color pastel.
No, you got to get the Amiga version. They had a higher resolution on that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what GOG has. I just got it through GOG, man.
Just got it through GOG, man. Leave me alone.
I'm sorry. I haven't had time to mess with the fucking with all that shit yet. You take over the region and then you tax the shit out of it, and then until they get pissed off and start threatening you with rebellion, and so you lower the tax, or they rebel against you and you have to retake it. But it's really cool where you can kind of see where it was really forward thinking for its time, in just the number of systems it has. But at the same time, if you compare it to something like Shogun Total War, it feels almost rudimentary. And so it's a really weird feeling where you can kind of see that they don't know how to do all these they've got eight different kind of systems in the game, and they're we don't know how to juggle all these, so the controls are a little wonky. Then you compare it to something like Shogun, and it's just insane how many things you'd have in a strategy game like that and how fluid it is. It's still pretty fun. It's still really cool. A lot of bad dudes doing bad shit to each other. So then I needed me a palate cleanser from all the cyberpunk with Deus Ex and everything. So I jumped into Minerva's Den today, too.
I still haven't played that. I've had it downloaded on my system for a year.
Yeah, I had it on mine for a long time, too. This is Bioshock 2 DLC, by the way, which is another DLC where
it's standalone, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it is Bioshock 2.
Yeah, but do you require the game?
On PC, I think you do, because you go into the you access it through the extras menu.
Same with Xbox, I think.
Okay, all I know is that it's one of the most well-regarded pieces of DLC.
Yeah, it's really good. I'm beating it. I'm a little over halfway through, I think. It's real good Bioshock. It's a microcosm of Bioshock. It's literally two dudes in a power struggle. Each one kind of talking shit at you through your radio. The other one kind of leading you along. They both have warring philosophies over some vast piece of technology. In this case, a supercomputer called the Thinker. And you are working for one, and presumably at some point I will be tasked with making some kind of hard decision concerning philosophy or theology or something.
God, all this talk just makes me want Bioshock Infinite.
Oh, God, I can't wait. Pick a date.
It's got to be August, right?
I hope so. I hope it's fucking June or some shit. That would be fantastic, but I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
But yeah, which actually it's funny you should mention that, because I was thinking about Bioshock Infinite a lot while I was playing through this, because as much as I love the story and the setting to all the Bioshock content that's been out so
Bioshock
far.
Bioshock 2 is vastly underrated.
Bioshock 2 is vastly underrated. I still think Bioshock 2 is better than Bioshock 1.
I don't. It's better as a gameplay experience, yeah. But...
I know I am in the minority in that, but I've said it many times before, but... as great as the storytelling and all that, and the depths they go to sort of flesh out the universe as a 1968 sort of city of the future kind of thing. Like, the dude that's on your radio is talking mess about, like, Alan Turing at one point. And it's really cool to kind of hear that sort of shit. That it kind of assumes that you're an adult, so you know this shit. As much as I love all that, there's some real jank in Bioshock in general. Like, some really bad textures and some... It's really weird how, like, you can use up all of your mana, you know, your Eve, to use up your plasmids, but then you... each plasmid uses up a certain amount of energy, but then if you don't have enough energy to use it so that it'll just drain your whole bar, you can still use it, but that's the only way to refill your energy bar is to use up all your shit, and then it'll just automatically refill your Eve bar. It's a weird thing. And that was all stuff that was in the original Bioshock 2.
Yeah, wasn't that, are you sure? I thought they had the syringes.
They did have the syringes. Yeah, I guess, I don't know, it is different, yeah, in Bioshock 2, because you dual wield
it. Yeah, that's something from the original Bioshock, isn't it?
The syringes are.
No. Never mind.
Okay. Either way, the original Bioshock had some jank to it, too. Like, there's audio cuts in and out when it shouldn't, and stuff like, you know, sound effects and whatnot. And I'm really excited to see Bioshock Infinite, because I think it looks much more technically impressive. Mm-hmm. Just with the sky hooks and everything, and the gameplay just kind of looks better.
And the story.
And the story looks great, too, but arguably the story in Bioshock has always been great.
And just because Yo-Dog Ken Levine.
Yeah.
Yep. Ken Levine.
Bioshock 2 is obviously not Ken Levine, but I think holds up pretty well, too. Yeah, so I'm not done with that yet, but I'll report maybe on how I feel about the ending of it sometime in the future. Apparently there's some kind of crazy commentary on video games thing in there at some point, which I think I've encountered, but every time I try to access it, it freezes my computer, so... Unless that's the commentary.
That's
So what else have you been playing?
Only the other thing is Puzzle Juice. Dally's been playing this too.
Yep.
New iOS game. It's also a word puzzler. It's basically Tetris meets Scrabble.
There's a lot of Scrabble love lately.
yeah. Or Tetris meets Boggle, I guess. I've never played Boggle. As it's been described to me, it's much more like Boggle than Scrabble. So blocks come down from the screen, total Tetris style. You know, they're all the same shape and whatnot. But if you match three or more blocks together of the same color, you can tap them and they will turn into letters. And if you also if you fill out an entire row, like, you know, if you Tetris, that those turn into letters. And then of any of those letters that are touching each other, you know, left, right, up, down, or to the side, and in any order, as long as they are within one space of each other.
Like Minesweeper.
Yeah. In a sure, why not, Minesweeper. You can make words, and then that's how you get your points, and that's how they disappear. Because otherwise the blocks will not disappear unless you make words out of them, or get like a power-up, like a bomb or some shit going in there. And it's addicting as fuck. It's insane.
And it's one thing to play it on the iPhone, by the way. It's much more difficult to play because everything is so tiny. Playing it on the iPad is so much easier. I was able to like double my score almost instantly playing on the iPad.
Yeah, I've only got an iPad. I don't have an iPhone. But I would imagine that it would be a shit fest if you tried to play on the iPhone.
Oh yeah.
But it's got some good music too. When I first started playing it, I was in a class, so I couldn't listen to the music. And then I played it, and it's a really ambient kind of thing. And I almost don't want to play it in class anymore because I want the music to be going, because it really gets you in the mood to just like, yeah, I can settle back and
you shouldn't be fucking playing games in class. You should be learning.
He was telling me the other day how he didn't get a high enough grade in class for his major, and I'm like, yeah, I wonder why.
I needed an 80%. I had a 79% last semester.
Steven did a copy edit of one of my posts while he was in class.
In the class that I didn't have the height of grade in last semester. Yeah.
Okay.
No, but I ran a copy edit during a lecture, yeah.
it? Playing anything else?
Not really. It's been a kind of a light week for me.
Yeah, cool. There's... lots of thinking.
A light
about
week,
games.
Only a billion things.
Yeah, compared to what I'm normally playing, because I don't sleep or eat. but
clearly,
or go to class. Okay. I've actually never missed a class in all of college.
So, really?
Yeah.
I had classes that you didn't have to attend, so I just skipped them.
I never do that because invariably those classes always have some shit where one of my teachers will be like, well, only 8 people showed up to class out of a group of like 36, so I'm just going to give free points to everybody who's here and we're not going to tell those other kids. That has happened to me so many times that I'm just like, I'm showing up to every class.
Okay, so you guys want to move on to some news?
Yeah, news.
What happened this week?
We'll save the big one for last so we can talk about it a little bit.
I want to get some audio liners to go for our segments. We need to make some segment names. And
okay,
we need some
along audio. With making our video game, we'll make some audio liners.
Yeah, we're going to make a video game in our spare time.
I guess we can do that at the end or something.
That'll be in the our commentary will be, the life for the video game will be nothing but the audio liners for our podcast. People play the game. It's going to be so confusing.
There's a couple rumors floating around. We'll start with this one first, of Microsoft planning to phase out the Microsoft point system. And
hurrah.
Apparently it's because the mobile phone division wants to be on parity with all the other platforms and just use regular money. And
So Xbox Live's kid brother is feeling left out and wants his own version of the better toy. It's more like his toy broke and now he wants Microsoft to break his bigger brother's toy to make it even.
Well,
fix it, I guess.
His big brother's toy is broken with all the fucking hacking that's been going on lately.
I guess they think that the 5% market share they have is being held up by having space bucks.
That's probably not wrong. I mean, it's probably not the only thing, but it's probably a contributing factor.
But I don't care if points go away. I would actually prefer to keep them because
what?
I've picked up some point cards for like $10 off before.
Oh yeah, right.
Get money off on real money.
Well, yeah, but that'll still happen. Like, technically speaking,
you gonna go buy real money for less money?
Yeah, I mean, well, on Amazon they also have sales on like 6 month card or like 12 month cards, and how much they cost printed
also,
on them.
The Wii and the PS3 cards as well. The PSN cards. Those go on sale a lot.
Yeah,
well, I've never seen a PS3 card on sale. The Wii ones I have.
The Wii ones I've never seen, but but I've seen PS3 ones before.
Mm-hmm. I haven't, but
Wii uses point system too.
It doesn't matter.
But their point is better.
It's not like it's hard to understand that 80 points equals a dollar.
Well, maybe not for us. Yeah. Certainly not. But there are dumb people. The dumb people who buy games on their Windows phone are dumb. I don't mean that.
I've never understood the extreme hatred of it. You know, it's a digital wallet, which is still going to exist even without the points. So
I think some of the hatred for it stemmed from something that they've gotten rid of, which is that previously they would only let you buy in like 1,000 point increments when 1,000 points was like $12.
They got rid of that in like 2007 or 2006.
No, that just happened within the last couple of years.
I got a 1,600 point card when I got my console in 07.
I'm talking about on the online store. Oh. On the online store, you had to buy in like 1,000 point increments, but then you would be left up. But everything was in 800 increments, so you had all these leftover points that they wanted you to spend on Avatar awards or whatever, and a lot of people didn't like that. Because what am I going to do with this $3.33 that is left over for
After
me?
After you buy 4 things, you use that leftover points to buy a 5th thing.
But the 5th thing is something that you didn't want, you're kind of stuck in.
No, because you just wait for something to come out that you want.
Yeah. Well, that was part of the issue.
It's way overthought on every single party.
It is. It totally is.
Yeah. You just spent too much time talking about it.
Yeah, well, I don't think a single person is unhappy if they would go to dollars, which is
smart thing. I wouldn't be unhappy. I just don't care.
It's the modern thing to do.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, I mean, if you're being beat by Nintendo in online marketplace, you're doing it wrong.
Mm. Who's being beat by Nintendo? Oh, you mean like beating
Nintendo?
If Nintendo beat you, if Nintendo did it first,
dollars now.
If Nintendo did it first, yeah, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. I guess we'll move into some actual facts with the Wii U and the stuff that's coming for it. Mostly just the NFC reader that's going to be in the Wii Pad.
What's in it? Oh, yeah, okay, like the Portal of Power, Nintendo style. Okay.
I think that could be kind of cool, depending on how they plan on using it, because
they make so much money through Pokemon.
That's
exactly what they're going to use it for.
There you go. Exactly. Could you imagine placing? So think of it like this. I think of it almost like a Microsoft Surface, right? Microsoft Surface had the your phone or a business card or something on a table,
your digital camera.
Yeah, and all the images and stuff come out of there, and that was kind of that had NFC built in, or at least similar technology. So this is going to be similar. Think of Pokemon toys being able to do that. I think that like you guys
I
said,
would I mean, build shelves in my entertainment room so I could store all of my Pokemon Skylander equipment.
Oh
so,
my god, so, yeah.
So what you're saying is I'm going to be able to play Ruse on my Wii U. Right, that's exactly what you're saying, right?
Hold on, I'm saying you'll never, ever, ever want to play Ruse on anything.
I think everyone said that.
Yeah, but no, that's it's a quick thing from Nintendo that'll be... I wouldn't be surprised if you get a Pokemon game at launch for the Wii U.
Yeah, because that becomes maybe... Yeah. No, I'm going to... Oh, okay, you mean... I thought you meant, like, comes with the game for free.
Or
oh,
no, what no, no, they'll no. do is have their 3DS Pokemon game that's inevitably coming.
Yeah.
And then in a Pokemon Stadium-type fashion, you'll be able to transfer your Pokemon from the 3DS game into these figures, which you can then put on the Wii Pad to battle other people with. God, I want this thing.
But yeah, just everything you just said sounds like the most overcomplicated,
so
stupid, archaic process I've ever heard.
It sounds very Nintendo.
Pretty simple.
No, but I think Eric's onto it because here, you know, let's say you have, okay, so you're going to be getting Skylanders pretty soon here after I send it out. and the only reason I haven't sent it out yet is I'm still trying to find some fucking Skylanders figurines. They're sold out everywhere. So it's an instantly collectible thing. Think of it now with Pokemon. So there's only 32 Skylanders figures. There's hundreds of Pokemon. Let's say a Pokemon game launches for the Wii U and the 3DS at the same time that lets you use a portal thing for the 3DS. You could play your Pokemon games on there, and then you take them to the Wii U, drop them on there, and you get better visuals, play the Pokemon game on the Wii U controller. I think there's some crazy ass shit.
Yeah,
I think it's really cool.
I'm looking forward to it.
I think, and that's just part of it. I mean, they even said that there's going to be, purchasing is going to be involved. There's going to be some, ways of, I don't have the article in front of me, but I could definitely see the ability to, maybe down the line there's somebody hooks it up so that you can use your phone and make phone purchases through the Wii U NFC. I mean, there's a lot you can do with near field communication. A lot for transfer of information.
It's simple. It doesn't take a lot of work for a publisher to put in.
Exactly, and you're right. It's a simple technology. It doesn't drain the battery as much as like Wi-Fi does or Bluetooth, and it could be pretty freaking cool, I think.
Yeah. I really want to see it.
Yeah, I want to see the uses of it. Exactly.
As far as the Wii U goes, I don't know what it's going to... I still don't know. Nobody knows if you can use two controllers with it. They've said no, but...
Well, at first they said no, and then I think they backtracked.
They said we don't have any plans, which is, this is going to happen. Just wait for it.
You know what? I think they're going... I think they will, because there were some comments recently that... something to the point of we're looking to figure out a way to do it. But there was more Wii U news that came out besides the NFC stuff on the controller, and that is the Nintendo Network stuff, which is actually launching in the 3DS in the next month here, which is finally Nintendo is going to have their Xbox Live, their PSN, their way of having an actual goddamn network.
Yeah, and that's, once again, hopefully they get it right.
Yeah.
I'm not confident. Okay, other Nintendo details.
Yeah.
There's a new side-scrolling Mario on the way for, I think, 3DS. 3DS.
Yeah, I'm hyped. I love the new Super Mario Brothers on the 3DS.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, but not in any extreme fashion.
It's going to be a... It's going to be a million seller, easily.
Oh, yeah, I just...
2D Marios are... It's really hard to fuck up a 2D Mario.
I just, you know, as long as they make it in the style of a Super Mario World.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Make it in the style of Super Mario World. New Super Mario Brothers Wii. If it's in that style, I will definitely take it.
Yeah, because, you know, there's different kinds of side-scrolling Marios.
Yeah.
You got 1, 2, 3, and 4 with World 3, 2, and the original. And most of them have been the original so far.
Yeah.
But... I want something new.
No, I'm excited for it. I'll take it. You know, they obviously realize that fuck, Mario sells like crazy. So let's keep pumping out these Mario
games.
Yeah,
I just sell more. $40 for a handheld Mario game that's, you know, just side scrolling seems weird to me.
I would say, before you say that, take a look at New Super Mario Brothers and Mario Kart for the DS, which are, for the DS, 6 plus 7 years old, and they're still, like, top sellers on Amazon.
Yeah, and they still go for $35.
And they still go for $35. People
still
buy them.
I don't want it, but I know it's going to happen.
No, we definitely don't want it. I guess I would say, you know what, if that was a handheld or if that was on... I mean, you're looking at Wii level visuals on a handheld, and we just paid $50 for New Super Mario Brothers Wii. If it's a good game, the price thing isn't an issue. I don't want prices to go past $40 on these handheld games, which Resident Evil Revelations was that at first, and they luckily dropped that price down to $40, like a couple days ago, but. Yeah.
I think you mean Resident Evil Revelations.
Revelations.
And let's see what else.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the colossal fuck up that got past hundreds of people.
Not only just once. Apparently, there's several mistakes inside of the book too. So those who didn't know, review copies went out for Resident Evil Revelations past week.
Late.
And and it was
out here
spelled
in like a week or so, right? Something like that.
Yes,
it's coming out soon. Yeah,
but it Resident Evil Revelations was spelled Revelation.
There's no extra I.
So there wasn't. Okay,
they just moved the I over two spaces.
That's even better. but yeah, it was a horrible mistake.
I don't know if that's better. I think that's worse, because like accidentally hitting I a second time is a little bit different than moving the I a different place. And even if there was an extra I, I think it would look a little bit better. I think somebody would have figured it out a lot. It would have been a little bit more camouflaged in there.
You say somebody might have figured it out, but I saw the picture. I looked at it for 3 minutes, knowing that somebody said this looks wrong, and I still didn't figure it out right away.
I saw it immediately. I
think that most people who buy it are won't even notice. And there is going to be a run of this game out there spelled like that on Spine, and I'm going to buy it right away, hoping
it's
get it.
It's going to be a collector's edition.
Exactly. Oh, exactly.
Yeah. I was not going to buy this game, well, until the demo, really, but now it's a positive buy for me.
What'd you think of the demo? Actually,
I thought it was fantastic. Actually,
yeah, wasn't it good?
It was the first Resident Evil game I've actually really enjoyed, or first Resident Evil experience I've enjoyed since 4. So,
by the way, good job finally firing up your 3DS again.
Yeah, I know, for about 20 minutes. Just long enough to play the demo and download Swapnote and then not use it.
Oh, you gotta use Swapnote.
Dude, Swapnote's the best.
Yeah, it is.
It's downloaded.
Okay.
I'll wait penises. So does Love Arbor. That's gonna be...
Oh, we lost him. Keep talking.
Okay, well, we're gonna take a quick break again.
Yep.
Come back for our third and final segment where we'll do a little bit of news, finish up this last story, and then go to...
2012.
What's going on in 2012? Okay, we'll be right back. Finish up news here. Steven is here on his wonderful iPad.
I'm an iPad 2, thank you very much. I did not buy a brand new
the iPad
to have it
Dizzle.
Called an iPad. Fat, no. I apologize, listeners.
Oh, don't worry. We just went on without you.
Oh, really? Yep. Okay, then never mind. I should be apologizing. Like, everybody's just, like, pissed off that I'm back.
Yeah, that works too.
Just be apologizing that you're still Steven Strom.
Oh, thanks.
That didn't change.
I will be apologizing forever. I piss off everybody, so okay. I'm constantly apologizing for
so
it.
So our last news story here is a rumor, but people are calling it a report, and I don't know.
You know what? You know why? By the way, I learned the difference between report and rumor. Rumor is if your site posts it. Report is if somebody reports on your site. It's a rumor. So for instance, if we posted a rumor and said, "Hey guys, we got some hot news. The 3DS Lite is coming in 2 months, and here's the information that we have that justifies it." And then anybody that kind of posts about that rumor would just be doing a report: new 3DS Lite coming in such and such time.
Well, either way, what I'm trying to say is it's deceptive.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and that report is that the next Xbox console is going to have a 6000 series video card, reportedly around a 6670. And the only reason it's important is because, you know, it's pretty much confirmation that next console is going to be out by next year.
Going to be out next year. Not by next year.
Out next year. It's not going to be a 2012 machine.
Yeah, and I don't think a single person out there thought there was going to be a 2012 machine.
Yeah, especially if it wasn't announced last year.
Yeah, exactly. And Microsoft's goal is... Okay, well, go ahead. Tell us what more there is to this story.
Okay, well, there's two ways of looking at the story. One, they made it more powerful than the Wii U. Two, not by much.
Yeah.
Really?
A 6670 is a mid-range graphics card from last year. Mm-hmm. And if they're... Okay, it's a strange thing because... The way console video cards and PC video cards match up isn't the same.
It's very
different.
Because
they're different architectures on both, and they require different things to run well. And But what is a fact is that it's a 6,000 series card, which is okay now, but when you think about this going to be sold at the end of 2013 and in use until 2018 at least, it's going to be an old card.
I suppose,
so
yeah.
So what Microsoft is doing, they're looking to hopefully undercut Sony right off the bat and have a $300 to $350 console, because it's a cheap and easier to make component than, you know, anybody could have predicted.
So it's basically what happened last time. I mean, right? Cheaper hardware to get out faster.
Last time around, Microsoft used a high-end series card.
Yeah, the 360 launched at $400 and $500. It didn't launch cheap.
Yeah, and
by any means.
But it's less powerful because with that extra year, Sony used a high-end card from a year newer. So that year between, you know, that they probably picked those cards in 03 and 04 respectively. In that time period, that was one of the biggest transitions in graphics cards.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, just with this card, it's the next Xbox 360 Xbox console is going to be cheaper, I think.
Yeah, I think that it's definitely a move about price right now, because I don't think people want to be spending all that much money, especially when they start having to bundle other stuff in.
Cheaper than what? Cheaper than what
cheaper
the 360
than anybody
at?
Could be expecting. And yes, because
I would say cheaper than the PS3 launch, which was $600.
Oh well, you think? I don't think it's possible for a console to launch at even $400 anymore. People don't spend that much money. Look at how big the 360 started selling when they dropped the price. And same with the PS3.
Well, let's bring this back a little bit. Okay. Do you think first of all that Microsoft is, and this is going to tie into kind of our next segment, but do you think that they're actually working on having this thing out by 2013?
Absolutely. If they don't reveal at GDC that they're working on a console, I'll be surprised.
Do you think it'll be GDC, or do you think
that
it'll be...
they'll announce that they're working on one, and I think at E3 they'll show it off.
I think,
or at least they'll show off a box that has a bunch of parts rattling around inside.
I don't know. I don't think they're gonna show anything at GDC.
I think they could.
No, yeah. I think they'll probably wait to deflate Nintendo even more at E3.
Well, maybe, but it just depends on what kind of presence Nintendo has at GDC as well.
Steven, do you think this is 2013?
I don't know. I don't want to say 2013, but at the same time, I don't want to say 2013 mostly because I don't want that to be the case necessarily. But I feel like Microsoft knows that a lot of what pushed the 360. Past the PS3 right out the gate, you know, other than the price, was getting out there first to market. And I think they would be dumb if they didn't at least try to do that again. But at the same time, I'm not of the camp that says we need a new console right now.
I think we do.
I know you are. I know that's why I said I'm not of the camp, because I totally understand that there are people who think that. Mm-hmm. But I kind of disagree. Man, maybe it's just because I play so many games on the PC. I'm a little bit blinded by the brilliance.
You should be in the best spot to realize that we need new consoles.
That's just playing on PC, I already have like all the stuff that I want. So maybe it's just that I don't realize that the consoles need to upgrade, but almost that I already have what I would be getting anyway. So yeah. Maybe that's just tempering
it's
me.
It's just developers are lazy.
I wouldn't say that.
Hear me out. Developers are lazy. The equipment they have right now, there are the rare few that can make games look amazing, make them run really well.
You got Naughty Dog.
You got Epic Games. Nintendo just has a good art style, but technically speaking, you know, who cares? But yeah. Most developers, they slap stuff together and they don't care about compressing things well. Look at what it took EA and to and DICE to get Battlefield 3 out on the 360. They needed a texture pack.
The texture pack, and the maps were smaller. And I mean, part of that is just the player count had to be lowered, just probably for online architecture. But the maps are smaller. You know, half the number of players playing on any given map. Texture pack.
So that's not a sign of laziness. That's a sign of constraint. And I think
a motivated developer can get a lot of things done. Nobody expected Mag to be able to succeed, and that game runs well with 256 players.
Well, yeah, how much of it is them not being able to do it because they're lazy, and how much of that is just like, the DVDs don't hold a lot of information by today's standards.
True. I mean, look at Forza 4 had the same issue. Forza 4, you couldn't load all the cars because they
had way too much junk. Battlefield 2? Bad Company 2 looked leaps and bounds better than the Battlefield 3 without the texture pack.
Because it wasn't as deep of a game as Battlefield 3.
Oh, it absolutely was. It was Battlefield Bad Company 2 is the same game on consoles as Battlefield 3, minus jets.
I was about to say, but the jets, a lot of that, when you have jets, you have to, I mean, the maps have to be fucking huge, too. And when you've got, you're flying around in jets, the scaling, the draw distances have to be increased, too. And draw distances take a lot of processing power. And when you have a jet and you are moving at that speed over large, large chunks of land, draw distances have to be real, real sharp. And
except
that takes a ton of power.
They don't move fast, though, either.
They move. They don't feel like they're moving fast when you're in the air, but they move fast compared to a dude on the ground.
Move much faster than choppers.
That's not the point. The point is that they are moving fast. They are still pulling up large chunks of the map very quickly because of their, if for no other reason than their perspective. And so the draw distances have to be really, really fast. That takes a lot of power. That takes a lot of memory to be able to do that without having crazy texture pop in. And if you have crazy texture pop in or player pop, even worse, character pop in, that game doesn't work.
Yeah, so back,
absolutely. But there's plenty of compression that could be done. And, you know, just look at how much isn't.
Well, and I'll tell you why. And part of that because the technology built into the console is not there to allow for that level of compression that's needed. So think of it this way. We know that they've been working on a new updates to Kinect that are PC specific. We know that most modern PCs are much more powerful than an Xbox 360, and they want to do more stuff with with Kinect, and they need stronger architecture. But they don't need vastly more powerful architecture, like the jump from the Xbox to the Xbox 360. I think they need just enough. They need to make it a better system to handle what they want to do with Kinect and leave it open for a few more tweaks on the line. But I think that's what this system is being built on, is to say, hey, you know, we're really pushing Kinect. I think this next Xbox is totally, completely being built around Kinect.
I wouldn't be surprised if a Kinect sensor was just, you know, they made it smaller and built it into the Xbox somehow.
Yeah, that's totally it. That's totally what's going to happen, because otherwise you're dealing with pushing more into the Kinect device, and that thing would just be a massive beast. And a USB 2.0 is definitely not fast enough for what they want to do with it. So I really think that you're looking at – I agree with you, Steven. They're going to – the Kinect sensor is going to be like what the Wii sensor bar was. It'll be really simple. It'll be a couple cameras, and all the processing will be done within the Xbox Next. And that's what the system's being built on. I agree with you.
So right now it looks like this is going to be a junky jump to the next generation. It's not going to be powerful enough.
Before you jump to that, I do have to say, with you just saying that, everyone needs to take a shot, and then also everyone needs to take a shot for saying developers are lazy. Sorry, back to you.
Why?
Here's one thing, though, too, is the – the drinking game is in progress, so we'll get back to that. No, one thing too is that just because the components are necessarily more powerful, that doesn't mean the systems won't run better in some way. You can do. There's a lot of alchemy you can do in just the way that information is accessed.
It will run better, but it's not. There's not enough room to improve if they use the architecture that's looking like, because they need at least 2 gigabytes of RAM in this next machine, at very least, to get everything easy for developers, because developers are lazy.
It's Steven, I'm thinking of it this way. So we've seen a few photos of The Witcher 2 on Xbox 360.
Yeah.
Essentially, what this next Xbox, the visuals are going to be like are Witcher 2 on the PC. So you'll see that difference, I think.
Now, right now, with a high-end current generation video card, it's still hard to push those graphics.
Yeah, I run it on I have a pretty new graphics card, and I run it on Max without Uber sampling, which if you put Uber sampling in that game, if you take everything, put it up to Max, and then add Uber sampling, which is this crazy thing that they've been adding to a couple of PC games, that thing will still fucking eat anything. Like, I can't see it necessarily pulling off Witcher 2, but I could definitely see maybe the jump, because right now what The Witcher 2 looks like is it looks like Witcher 2 on low graphic settings on Xbox 360. I could maybe see it jumping up to, like, high Witcher 2.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah. And another thing, too, is I don't even think that we'll see much of a graphical bump, period, right. just because that...
Not going to see much of any bump.
Plenty of bump.
Because the frame rates won't improve enough, and
speculation for the Xbox, not the entire next generation.
Right, right.
Is another thing. I just want to clarify that for people who are listening. For
somebody who just jumped into this at the very last second.
Well, yeah, but we are constantly referring to the next generation. It's going to be a junk.
Well,
jump
right now,
the next generation
is two consoles.
I suppose, but eventually there will be a third. Like, yeah. It won't. I mean, there's not going to not be a PS4.
Absolutely. But if Sony's smart, they're probably going to follow that up with the same kind of thing, because they can't take another big hit.
I suppose. No. I don't know what I'm actually way more excited to see, or not maybe excited, but way more interested in to see what Sony does once that comes around than I'm interested in what Microsoft is going to do.
Well. It is time
Microsoft
for
just
next
does
segment.
Not make good hardware. I'm
Let's,
so,
it's
like,
time for the next segment. Segment push. Go. Next segment. Next section. We're done with the news.
Well, I don't know what to call this next segment.
Let's call it the next segment.
The next segment is the next segment.
From now on, this will be the next segment.
Well, it'll be the next segment. It's still actually the same segment, but a different section of the segment.
Okay.
Anyways, 2012 predictions and expectations.
I do want to still stay in this next Xbox stuff, only because I think what you're going to see is...
Next segment! Okay, now let me just talk about...
Take a shot. No. I think that Microsoft is going to announce this at E3, because they want to take the wind out of Nintendo's sails, and they're going to announce... They'll probably say something like, Fable 4... is going to be a launch game for this next thing, and here's the first video of it. Here's some stuff that we're showcasing, and it's going to be super Kinect heavy. I think that this year they may even start showing some really cool things it'll be another a pizzazz video like when they initially showed the first
sizzle reel,
But I think this will be closer to what that initial Kinect sizzle reel was hoping to be.
So we should all just ignore it.
Dally, I was about to say.
Yeah.
I just finally beat Fable 3 last weekend, and if Fable 4 is their big launch push, that will keep me away from buying the next Xbox. God help me get it.
Well, we know Peter Molyneux is working on something, and Fable the Journey definitely isn't the one that.
Oh, I forgot about that.
But I think that obviously we're looking at Halo and stuff. Let's go. Company by company.
The game is coming out on this system. You know,
Let's go company by company and talk Microsoft first.
Are we talking about software this year?
2012. Yeah.
The only prediction I can make about Microsoft this year is that they will announce their next Xbox. Because they've got zero first party games. like, besides Halo, and everyone already knows about that. So like, I don't really have an affinity for the first Halo party Xbox exclusives.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're probably going to see Microsoft push for this year, the final year of the Xbox. They're going to push Halo. They'll push Fable: The Journey.
Maybe some exclusive DLC or something for a game. Well,
in Modern Warfare or Black Ops 2 or whatever. And then they're also Epic is working on a new game that they'll probably announce. I'm sure they'll announce this year. It'll probably be
Epic's working on
years game.
That other game, Fortnite.
Fortnite, that's one.
Yeah, but I think they might push that for this year. You never know. That's true.
Yeah,
maybe a Left 4 Dead 3 or something.
That's not gonna happen in E3, but it might happen.
I don't see that coming out as a 360 exclusive or as a 360
anymore,
exclusive
yeah.
either.
Yeah. Yeah, well, not exclusive.
But... I'm not gonna do that. No, it'll come out on 360. Not at all. But
man, you're cutting out. Something fierce.
Yeah, that's not going to be a three. The six, and, okay. I was just going to say, I would even make the assumption that if it does come out next year, multi-platform, it won't even be lead platform 360. I wouldn't be surprised if it was lead platform PS3 just because of the Steam integration and how.
That's something you might see with the 360 is maybe Microsoft will finally back down and allow Valve to take over their system as well.
I don't think so. That's not going to
happen. No, no. Microsoft is too retentive of that kind of stuff. I don't see that changing. Everybody thought that was going to happen when Unreal Tournament 3 came out and you could put mods on.
That was 4 years ago, 3 years ago. A lot has changed since then.
Sure, yeah, but something happens every couple of years, and everybody says, like, oh, this will finally be the time
Microsoft
that
Microsoft doesn't like being beat, and right now Sony has them beat.
With what? With Steam?
With Steam. That's what I'm talking about right now.
There's nothing about Steam on PS3 that is even. I don't know a single person that uses Steam on PS3 to play against somebody on the PC. But, you think people are actually doing that?
Well, it's only in Portal.
They did.
And it's only in Portal 2. Exactly. Well, in Portal 2.
What I'm trying to get at is I think that will become a bigger deal. But on that in the future, you can't play against somebody on PS3 because it's Portal 2, it's co-op, and I have used that before. I used it immediately, and it wasn't even just
a copy of Portal 2 on the PS3 because of that deal.
Same here.
Yeah. There's a lot of people out there like me.
I did too, and then I returned it because I couldn't get online.
Because you should have used your code immediately, like I did.
Yeah, I should have used my code. I don't know. I don't think Steam is going to come to Micro because that totally. I mean, they make a fortune off their Xbox Live.
They
interface.
Don't. You're not. You can't buy games on Steam for the PS3 either. It's just that interconnectivity that people do like.
Well,
play that works.
So that okay. I guess cross-platform play I can see potentially coming there. I don't think it's a big
integration that's on the PS3. Should come to the 360 because it is kind of important.
Yeah, I could see that. I definitely
that's,
don't
that's
see
all
there.
I'm saying.
Okay,
it's,
I thought you were
especially with the PC
the marketplace.
No, that would be awesome.
No, definitely
though.
Not.
The PC is becoming is kind of undergoing kind of a renaissance recently too. In like,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
PC. Even when people are saying PC is dead, PC was probably still the number one biggest platform in the world, just because you have to include stuff like Tetris and Bejeweled and fucking Facebook games and whatnot. But and it's kind of undergoing like a hardcore renaissance now too. And I think that as more people start seeing the PC again in a sort of mainstream light as a not only viable but preferred option for games, you're going to see more and more people want to be able to play across the platform with the PS3 or with the consoles and the PC now that they've had a taste of it. That works, not Shadowrun, which was through Microsoft's attempt at that.
Well, I had fun with Shadowrun on the PC.
Yeah.
Okay.
But nobody had.
But it was broken on the 360.
Yeah. Something I want that's never going to happen is keyboard and mouse support on consoles.
That's on PS3.
It's on PS3.
Full support
for every game.
Yeah. For like a infrastructure run setup.
Well, you're never going to get that because you're never going to get Activision to agree to that because. People who play Modern Warfare or whatever, there's going to be they're going to divide the audience, or you're either going to divide the audience between PC between controller players and keyboard players.
You know what Activision has to do then? They have to design a multiplayer system that actually works so you can play against people your own level. Because if what you're saying is that the keyboard and mouse players are automatically going to rise to the top, then those players shouldn't be playing against controller players.
And that's what Valve is doing with Counter-Strike Go.
Exactly.
But what I'm saying is I don't see Activision being that forward thinking. I don't see them being that progressive. And Activision is the one they have to win. That they have to win over to this concept, because Activision holds Call of Duty, which is still the biggest fucking franchise in the world. You know.
What I'm talking about is probably going to be, if anything, it'd be next generation, and Call of Duty won't be able to last as big through a new console launch. So they can take that risk.
Yeah, I actually...
But these are 2012 we're talking about, isn't it?
Well, if they announce stuff this year.
Okay, so you're saying that you would like to see this announced this year. Okay.
Yeah, so everyone would be ready
for it. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't see it happening, but...
Oh, I don't either, but it
okay. I totally agree that it would be awesome. I would love it. But
yeah,
I don't... I still don't see it happening.
Anything else for Microsoft that we're thinking?
Probably new IP, some kind.
I think just more Kinect stuff. We're going to see a lot of
Kinect stuff. Maybe a new IP for Kinect, but other than that, they haven't had anything new.
And I don't think that they don't necessarily need to. They have a really strong third party. We'll get into that a little bit.
I want to make one prediction of my own. I wouldn't be surprised if we heard Gunstringer 2 at some point. Because
it sold okay. I didn't think
it was
okay.
It was packed as the free Kinect game pretty much all of summer and.
Yeah. I mean, but it's the one Kinect game that the hardcore kind of really rallied behind.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and I think too.
Yeah, Dance Central 2, but that's kind of almost universal. That's like Rock Band or Guitar Hero.
Yeah,
exactly.
But I think that it's just going to be. I don't think that they're going to be putting a lot of support behind it or anything, Microsoft specifically. I think that'll be like the one bone that they throw to the hardcore people who to try and like kind of rope them in with Kinect a little bit.
Maybe.
It's a prediction, so it could totally be wrong.
So what about Sony?
I think Sony's going to be really interesting to see this year because we don't know a lot about what's coming for Sony. They really, you know, they kind of
which is amazing.
Amazing right now.
Well, don't we know everything about what's coming for Sony?
We do.
It's just
and
a matter of when.
That's
actually probably true.
Yeah.
We know what's happening to everybody. Everybody's going to make a new console. Yeah. They're all going to be slightly more powerful.
On pain of death, have to predict what Microsoft was doing, I would die because I wouldn't be able to do it. Because I never know what direction they're going to move in. Sony, they're going to stay in this core market that they've always held. And, you know, they're going to put out, they're going to publish Last of Us. Eventually, they're going to publish Last Guardian. Eventually, they're going to.
I think that's all you're going to see. You're going to see Last of Us. You're going to see Last Guardian.
Well, I don't think Last
2012.
And I think you're going to see Last Guardian and Last of Us.
Last of Us is coming out, isn't it? Wasn't that announced?
Yeah, I think it was announced. And you're going to.
But did that have a release date?
It's November. The first Tuesday in November.
Probably. You're also going to see God of War.
There was actually I think there was like a rumor leaked earlier about somebody God of War 4 on somebody's resume or something.
Yeah, somebody's
just
resume.
Like within this last week. Like I mean, come on, if you played God of War 3, you get to the end, like they pretty much almost blatantly say they don't blatantly say it, but it's like they give themselves such a huge out and such a like almost like dick slap in the face of an out that kind of like reduces everything that happened before. It's just like almost entirely marketing driven kind of thing.
It was all a dream.
Not even that, but
you know, I after playing three God of War games, you know, I'm almost burned out on it.
This year, guys, I think this year is Sony's push for the Vita. I think that's really what they're going
to. Yeah. Oh, more than likely.
They're gonna say this is, you know, this is gonna be their coming out party for the Vita. I don't think it's gonna be a big seller until.
I don't think it's going to be a big seller. Full stop.
Ever. Yeah,
I,
I,
First thing is that, as far as big games go, PS3, this was kind of PS3's era in terms of like big giant games. Like they kind of lost a lot of momentum with the PSN outage. It didn't help with, you know, Mortal Kombat. The best version of Mortal Kombat came out at the time when you couldn't play Mortal Kombat online on PS3. You know, and it was kind of a drag. And same with Portal 2. Best version of Portal 2, or, you know, other than PC. I mean, like best console version of Portal 2, couldn't play it online for the co-op. But, you know, so I don't think we're going to see a ton of huge games, but you guys are right. Big Vita push, and I'm going to get it, and I think it'll be bigger than a lot of people keep predicting. I do not think it will be...
I think it's going to be a huge first sales week for them, but beyond that,
I don't know even that.
I'm still putting my odds on 50-50 on the Vita right now, actually.
As we've talked about on Twitter, I don't think that the right kind of market... The Vita's going for the same market as the PSP, which stumbled.
But with they had a lot of issues with the PS3 out where they were kind of like, look at this PSP, it's a movie player and we have UMDs and it's got music. Whereas with the Vita, they're very, very strict, like going straight for that market, right?
Well, they're like, we've got Twitter clients and we've got Facebook.
Yeah,
clients.
And they're all half-assed. They're all half-assed.
They're trying to make their way. They're trying to be a middle ground between a tablet and a handheld console.
But that's not what they are like touting. That is not like everything that they're touting is Uncharted in the palm of your hands. Now you can play things with your PS.
And that's another problem is everyone who's played Uncharted is like, oh, Uncharted, I'd really like to play that on my console.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would.
Look how many like million sellers there are on the PSP. Like look at the ones that they touted as console games in your hand. Those are some of the worst sellers.
But what I'm trying to say here is that, like, it's definitely to us where it's like, well, yeah, I'd way rather play Uncharted on the PS3 than in my hands.
Well, but nobody knows who Uncharted is.
Well, I'm just gonna. Well, no, because Uncharted sells pretty well.
Uncharted 3 sold 3 million copies.
That's 3 million copies is not bad.
Anything beyond the core gaming market.
Okay, but we are not the core gaming market. We are like above and beyond the core.
Yeah, we're the super core market, I guess. Yeah,
so we pay more attention to it.
But what I'm trying to say here is what I'm just trying to get off on my chest is that you show somebody who likes Uncharted, yo, now you can play Uncharted in your hands. There's going to be that immediate, like, you know, a high school kid who loves video games and loves Uncharted or whatever is going to see that and he's going to be like, holy fuck, I can play Uncharted in the fucking palm of my hands, not really think about it past that. Like, I don't think he's going to be, well, is the Twitter client going to be amazing on this thing? Or, like, no, he's not going to give a fuck at what the Twitter client is like. And, you know, it's Sony's failing to even try to include that stuff at the period because it's, you know, pointless. But they're not going to give a shit. They're going to see Twitters on there and they're just going to be like, okay, whatever. They're going to say, Uncharted, it looks amazing. And like, or Wipeout, you know, I don't know what Wipeout is because nobody knows what Wipeout is except for Steven Strum. But but it's crazy racing shit. I don't know. It's techno, dubstep racing cars that shoot missiles.
So,
sure.
Steven, would you say that Uncharted on the PSP is God of War, or Uncharted on the PS Vita is God of War on the PSP?
I don't think the God of War games on PSP sold that amazing. Yeah,
exactly.
But there were games on the PSP, bigger than Uncharted.
No. What I'm saying, Steven, is there were games. There were very hardcore. There were very core games on the PSP, and there were people that bought them. No, the numbers were definitely not as good as Sony or anybody would have. Maybe if Nintendo wanted them low, but you know it. I agree with you. It's definitely aimed at that. It's almost like a slightly more sophisticated Modern Warfare 3 high school kid.
Sure. Yeah. No. I know what you're saying. Yeah. Sure. Definitely. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like, I don't know how this is going to – I mean, traditionally, the PSP was really big in Japan, but not really big over here. And, you know, games like Dissidia sold incredibly well, which I wouldn't say –
Monster Hunter was nuts. Yeah,
yeah, I wouldn't want to – I don't want to play either of those
and
games.
And that's another problem for the Vita right now is the two-game exclusivity of Monster Hunter on the 3DS.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's a big problem for it in Japan. That's why it's not selling great in Japan. But America doesn't care about Monster Hunter, so it's not a big deal.
America doesn't care about games at all, apparently, because a lot of consoles, the attach rate of games to consoles in the U.S. is really low.
And how much that is just the Wii?
I don't know. That's the Wii. It's not the what was that? Party Animal.
That was my segment wrap up.
Have you noticed it? Okay, so let's get on to the Wii. So we have Wii U.
Wii and Wii U, I guess.
And 3DS, really.
Yeah, I know, you mean the Wii U, because nothing is going to happen with the Wii.
I predict that Samba de Amigo will come out again on the Wii.
There'll probably be some shitty Wii games that come out that even Nintendo might announce, hey, here's Wii Music, too.
Don't they have...
Rhythm Tendoku is coming out.
Yeah. Well, no, those are all coming before E3 is kind of what we're saying.
Well, yeah.
Actually, we're not really making
that.
We're making
you know about
all year.
That. We're making predictions.
Rhythm Tengoku is coming for Wii this year, right? Or Rhythm?
I think that's what it's called, right? Maybe March.
Yeah, March.
Yeah. So I mean that's a hardcore game that a lot of like hardcore people are excited about. I guess.
Yeah.
It's not hardly sell at all. But
Xenoblade
it's,
Chronicles
you know,
is coming,
which
it's not gonna sell at all.
I played that in Japanese and it was fun.
Yeah, it may be great, but it's not going to sell.
Oh, yeah. Nobody even knows about
it.
So,
Wii U, I think we're going to see a slight hardware redesign. I don't think the tablet controller is going to be redesigned at all, but I think the actual case of the console is going to look different.
I don't know. They really want to invoke the Wii.
No, I think they're starting to realize their mistakes. I mean, that's kind of what Reggie and actually that's kind of what Iwata said. He said we definitely don't want to make the same mistake.
Companies say that all the time.
Yeah,
it doesn't necessarily mean they do anything.
That's true. Well, I mean one of the big issues at E3 this past year was everybody thought, oh, is that just a controller for the Wii? Because it looked like the Wii U looked a lot.
And
like
because
it.
They were using Wiimotes,
all that kind of stuff, which they're still gonna use, unfortunately.
Are they?
Yeah, they still are.
Is that confirmed?
That's confirmed. I really wish they would use like a new wireless pro remote.
I thought they were gonna.
No,
that was gonna be my prediction. Is that they're gonna bring out a new, at least different style of Wiimote.
And they still might, but not for.
I don't know the whole style. The reason the Wiimote looks the way the Wiimote looks like is because. It wants to because it looks like a remote control.
Yes,
because
exactly.
People, it's something people are familiar with. They're not going to abandon the design that is of their most popular console in years. What the controller looked like that old grandmas and whatnot can play with and understand. They're not going to abandon that.
I guess my prediction will be that they will announce the Wii U to be $300.
I think you're probably pretty right.
Yeah,
I don't see them being able to go over that and sell, as said before. Especially,
but I also don't see them being able to go under that at all. Either
they might be able to go 250.
I don't know 250 because 250 was a Wii, but then you stack on that pad controller. I think is where a part of this cost is going to
come
from.
Well, if you look component wise, that controller can't be expensive.
Component means nothing. Component means nothing.
And as for, you know, like the design cost for that thing, it couldn't have been a lot. It's like,
sure.
Hey, we got this controller. Let's put a DS screen on it.
Yeah, which is shitty.
Giant DS screen.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's like we took our DSi XL, put
and
both
we,
the
we...
screens together, and then slapped it on there.
I guess it's actually pretty bright, but you know, it's actually a nice looking screen. It's just
the bottom screen of the DSi.
I didn't really. I like that. I like the controller, but I don't see it being very useful.
No, I see it being super useful.
I have no interest in the Wii U, so I guess I don't know.
I think
I don't really have any predictions.
Chase Me was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So I well. you got to remember they're gonna drop some cool games supposedly.
They gotta have some new games.
Yeah, they're gonna drop.
I can't wait to play Batman Arkham City on my Wii U a year after it came out. Great.
Does anybody think they'll have a new IP?
Yeah, I definitely think they're gonna have new IPs. That's new what IP? I've been trying to say.
A new IP from Nintendo.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Cause I don't remember the last new Nintendo IP.
Pikmin, probably.
It was, what, 2002?
Rhythm Heaven.
Yeah, it was pretty...
Is Rhythm Heaven Nintendo? Been a while?
I don't think Rhythm that's Nintendo first party.
It is, yep.
Is it? Okay. I guess, but nobody knows about that.
Except for a lot of people.
I feel like... Yeah, there, you know, that game definitely has its followers, but those followers do not live in America.
Did you ever play the DS game? Because the DS game sold a ton.
Yeah, but everything on the original DS sold a ton.
Yeah. So I think they're gonna launch with Pikmin, which could be pretty cool. I think
like Pikmin 3. You'd call them Pikmin
3? Well, I remember at the E3 conference or the interview last year, they said don't ask about Pikmin, and then a little bit later they. Like, word got out that they're working on a Pikmin.
By the way, I fucking love Pikmin. I just wanted to put that out there. I don't know how much you guys care about Pikmin, or how big Pikmin is as a franchise, but I fucking love that game. So I would actually be kind of excited about the Wii U if there was a new Pikmin game on it.
It wouldn't be a purchase for me. I don't really care. I'm going to get the Wii U anyways, probably, but... So, like Microsoft, I can't predict what Nintendo's gonna do. I predict that they'll have a Mario game, a Zelda game for the Wii U.
Yeah, at some point or another, there will be both a Mario and Zelda game on the Wii U.
Yeah.
What else would they probably? I mean, probably. Yeah, Pikmin probably. Why not? Metroid maybe at some point.
Other than that, Metroid game, they're not gonna have much.
That'll be my prediction. Actually, is Metroid game from Retro.
I thought that was 3DS, but anyways, what about third parties?
Another one. Like, just in general.
Yeah.
Like, for the Wii U or just
for everything? What are the third parties going to be doing?
Normally I would have said Resistance 4 for Insomniac, but they just totally said that they're not doing that anymore.
And that's first party anyways.
Insomniac's...
Resistance is a first party...
It's a first party game, yes. But they are a third party company now. They are...
Yes, but like a Resistance either way wouldn't be a third party game.
I don't know. Everybody's going to be doing something, I guess. I don't know. It kind of all depends on what happens.
Rockstar is going to have information on
GTA 5.
GTA 5. Do you think that's going to be released this year?
No. That'll be 2013 at the earliest.
I think it'll be, I don't know. Man, it could be anywhere from November to May.
2015.
Well, I am.
Rockstar doesn't like a game, they drop it back. They don't do that. Cut it, put it in the sequel kind of thing. If they don't like where a game is going, they just that. Huh?
Manhunt proves that.
I wouldn't be surprised if at some point this year we maybe hear Red Dead Redemption 2.
That would be surprising to me. I don't know where they would go with that story.
I don't think it would follow the same characters. I think you would have a GTA style thing where it jumps to a different place with different characters.
So it'd be Red Dead Redemption.
I think it would be called like Red Dead. I think I would even guess that they would call it Red Dead some other word because it's like the Red Dead part that is that franchise.
They'll end up calling it Red Dead Redemption 2 because that game made them money.
But yeah, but I could see if any developer was going to do it, I could see Rockstar being the ones that were like, you know, do it. I mean, Batman makes a lot of money, but they called Dark Knight Dark Knight, and obviously now it's the Dark Knight Rises. But I'm just saying
Yeah, exactly. They followed up the one that made the most money with the same name.
Right, but Batman Begins made a lot of money too, and they didn't call it Batman Begins 2. Like they called it. I'm just saying there is precedent for them, for people doing this occasionally.
Yeah, and I don't see it happening anymore with how marketing works.
Well, but I mean, Activision releases games that aren't called Call of Duty Modern Warfare. They release Call of Duty Black Ops and whatnot, you know.
Well, but it's still called Call of Duty.
Right.
It still has that full name there.
What I'm saying is that I think the Red Dead is that opening part of that name for Red Dead. This is such a dumb argument.
Yes, but it's a fun argument because nobody played Red Dead Revolver.
No, nobody did. But Red Dead Redemption was a huge thing.
Exactly. That's my point. But other than Rockstar, who does anything that matters?
BioWare?
I predict, you know, Mass Effect 3 better be good.
I think it will be at least good.
It'll probably be that, but I think I'm going to fall into that situation the same way I did Uncharted 3. I don't think there's any way it can live up to the previous game.
I don't get that because I think Uncharted 2 is a great, great, great game. I do not think, when I played Uncharted 2, I did not think to myself, I don't see how anything could possibly live up to this.
Yeah, I didn't think that because I thought Uncharted 3 was going to, and it didn't come close. But you know what's wrong with Mass Effect 3? Shepard jumps. I'm not buying it. Screw that game.
Shepard jumps? What?
He jumped over a gap in the demo I saw at E3. It was a joke.
Oh, was it a jump or was it a vault?
Yes.
That's a very important distinction we got to make.
Well, he jumped. He clearly left his feet.
Shit. he jumps in Mass Effect 2.
Does he?
It was his one practice jump when he jumps off of the downed Reaper ship and over to the Normandy in low gravity.
That's right. That's it was in low gravity.
It was the first time he had ever discovered his ability, though, so he had to
Before then, he was using magnet boots mm-hmm. that only unlocked one at a time.
Yeah, well, and made, clunking noises, and you could set them onto a different setting that turned them into jet boats that allowed you to climb up the elevator shaft
exactly.
while carrying his two best friends on either arm.
But I think that I'm not hopeful for that Command & Conquer game from quote-unquote BioWare.
I actually think that'll be kind of cool.
I didn't like Generals 1.
I had never played Generals, but just the fact that they're pulling out a Command & Conquer franchise that isn't Red Alert and isn't Tiberian, I think that's kind of interesting.
Just slapping that BioWare name on there.
But that doesn't mean
disingenuous.
It's disingenuous as hell. But that studio, that doesn't necessarily mean that studio is shit just because they gave them the BioWare name. For all we know, these guys could be fucking awesome. We don't know yet. That's the problem.
They're XELA guys, so they're clearly not awesome. They're XELA. They made Command & Conquer 4.
Ooh, is that all they made?
I think so.
Fuck.
That's not all they made, but like the team as it is, because like Greg Kasavin and all them, they left.
Oh yeah. Dolly, what about you? You got anything? Okay.
I guess he's low opinion.
Yeah.
Any other third party predictions?
Not really. I think I'm just about talked out.
Yeah, me too. Okay, well, on the show, Dolly had to bail out earlier because food.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's actually the primary reason I want to leave too, because food.
Yeah, I gotta go buy a new wireless adapter.
Have fun with that. The last one I bought was like $90.
I see one at Best Buy for $25.
Because I wanted to get one that I knew would actually work.
Yeah, the one I have right now, nobody cares about me talking about this. I'm just gonna end this show.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. You can find me on Twitter at Alamom, 2 L's and an M at the end. Steven?
At Steven Strom, Steven with a V, STROM.
And that'll do our 2012 prediction cast. We actually ran a whole lot longer than we wanted to, but I'm going to cut some of this out.
Yeah, do it. If I said anything racist, just cut that out.
I'm going to amplify it.
Okay. I'm pretty sure I didn't say anything racist.
I will cut your voice together to make it sound like it did.
You'll make some sampleizer bullshit?
Exactly.
Oh.
Then I'll auto-tune it.
Saints Row the Fourth, starring Stephen Strom as Zemo.
Stephen Zemos.
Zemos Jr. Anyway.
Okay. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Whisper.